Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for bringing us here safely. We thank you, Father, for your love for us and just day in and day out how you provide for us. You never grow tired. You never grow weary. Father, we ask you, God, that you will be with us tonight as we look into your word. Father, we're very grateful, Lord, for Jesus and him dying on the cross for us. Father, every day we just want to know you better. We want to draw closer to you. I pray, Father, that you will transform us tonight through your word. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Open up your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. It's always great to be with the brothers. In Proverbs chapter 4, if you don't know this verse by heart, you need to know it. This is one of those scriptures that I believe that every single disciple needs to memorize. Now, there are many others, but this is one of them. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Above everything else, the Bible says, you and I, we need to guard our hearts. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. Our hearts need to be guarded because of the influences of the world that you and I live in. As Christians, we all know that the Bible teaches very clearly that we are strangers in this world, that we are not of this world, that our citizenship is in heaven. And there are a lot of things that we encounter on a daily basis that causes us to take our eyes and our focus off where we're headed. And that's why we got to be very, very careful. Because you're going to make it to heaven on your own. I'm going to make it to heaven on my own. There is nothing else that anybody can do or not do that would cause me not to get there. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And that's why it says, we've got to guard our hearts. Nobody else can guard your heart for you.
Right.
I've got to do it for myself. You've got to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
There is so much that wages war against our souls on a daily basis. You see, the heart reflects the inner man. Our hearts are the source of all of our actions and all of our will. The real you, the real me is on the inside. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
When he says guard your heart, he's not talking about the physical heart. Although that's very important. Okay, if that thing stops, you die. Okay, but what he's talking about is you and I guarding the inner person. The real you. The source of all of our actions and all of our wills. Like the human heart, our heart is central and vital to our existence. The heart is where our character is formed and maintained. On the inside. And it's not amazing that Satan knows exactly where to attack. Because if he's got your heart, if he goes after your heart, he's got you and I. It is that simple. His goal is to not only to get you to act in a certain way and to sin and not to follow God, but his goal is to capture your heart. Because once he captures your heart, everything else falls into place. You know, I want you to listen to this. It was 1:30 a.m. on Friday, December 16th, 1991. Patrolman Tommy Garrison of the Mississippi City Police had pulled over a gray Monte Carlo for no tag on Highway 309. Garrison walked to the car where three men were waiting. The driver said he didn't have his license with him, but knew the number. Then Garrison saw three VCRs stacked in the back seat. "Where did you get those VCRs?" he asked. That's when all three men got out. The first attacked Garrison with a knife. While the police officer was wrestling with him, a second man pulled a handgun and shot twice. The first bullet struck the officer in the stomach and knocked him off balance. When the second hit his chest, Garrison was flung to the ground. The three men jumped back into the Monte Carlo and sped off, heading north toward the Tennessee line. Before they were out of sight, however, Garrison stood up and ran back to his car to put out an all-points bulletin, APB. He was shaken up and bruised, but unwounded. That morning, Garrison had put on one of the department's bulletproof vests. The seven-year-old vet was 2.5 pounds. Excuse me. The seven-year-old vest was 2.5 pounds of discomfort and reeked with sweat. Garrison had not been wearing it regularly because it was such a nuisance. But that Friday had been cool. And Garrison had worn the vest all day. And at a critical moment, it had saved his life by guarding his heart.
Wow.
You know, it's one thing to, if you're a police officer, to have a bulletproof vest. It's something else to make sure that you're wearing it all the time. Because you don't know when the enemy is going to attack you. And the same thing, I believe, brothers, is true spiritually speaking. Where God calls us to guard our hearts. Because you don't know when the attack is coming. God teaches us throughout the Bible to deal with what's on the inside. This is talked about over and over again. The Bible talks a lot about you and I being on guard. In many places. You see, what we do in word and deed is first of all a product of what is on the inside. That is what Matthew chapter 6 verse 21 teaches, and other verses like it. And so tonight as we begin, I got two questions. What is the condition of your heart? I'm talking of your spiritual heart. Are you guarding it? Is the condition of your heart your greatest concern? Or are you more worried about the day-to-day stuff that's going on? You know, doctors tell us that when you get to a certain age, you need to go get a checkup. You need to be in the habit of going for physical every year. And why is that? Because if you're in the habit of not going to the doctor, when things go wrong, they're not going to pick it up very quickly. Whereas, if you're in the habit of going for regular checkups, if there's something wrong, chances are one of these blood tests is going to find it out. My father died of prostate cancer. When he found out he had prostate cancer, it was too late. Because this stuff had been going on for years, but he had no idea. And when they found it, it was so obvious on the x-ray. I still remember one of the brothers in the church in Lagos, who's a doctor, that he went to see when he wasn't feeling particularly well on this particular day. And, you know, the brother wrote me a note and said, you know, bro, I got bad news. His daddy's got cancer and it's spread all over the place. And there's really nothing that can be done at this point. So it's just a question of time. You're just going to have to live with it. Cancer is not a good thing. It's a horrible thing. But you see, 9 times out of 10, some of these diseases, some of these ailments we can catch if we go for regular checkups.
Yeah.
And I believe spiritually speaking, the same is true. How often do we check out the condition of our hearts? How often do we go to the spiritual doctor to tell us how we're really doing?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Because our eternity depends on it.
Right. Amen.
Now look in Proverbs chapter 28. We're talking about guarding your heart. And we're going to be looking at a lot of Bible tonight.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of scriptures because we don't have a lot of time. In Proverbs chapter 28, here we go again. I wrote down the wrong passage. Hang on a second. I'll find it. Hold on. Maybe I wrote it backwards. Let's see. No, I wrote down the wrong passage. But the passage I wrote down that I want us to turn to, but, you know, you can do a search on it, or, you know, check your concordance. It basically talks about he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Okay, but I wrote down the wrong reference. He who trusts his own heart, the Bible says you're a fool. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Let's talk about some heart problems that are mentioned in the Bible. Broken hearted. disheartened, faint-hearted, hard-hearted, down-hearted, heartache, stubbornness of heart, unbelieving heart, fear and anxiety, losing heart, bitterness of heart, a divided heart, proud of heart. These are just some of the heart ailments that the Bible mentions. And again, they're all over the place. But I believe as Christians, what you and I should be striving for, what you and I need to desire, are these things. Wholeheartedness. Kindheartedness. Being simple-hearted. Being pure-hearted. Having faithful hearts. Having a persevering heart. Having a generous heart. Having a serving heart. Again, Satan doesn't want us to have any of those things. And so he knows what buttons to push. Okay? Could you let me open that door? It's kind of getting stuff in here. I think there's a little block out there. You use it to hold the door open. Thanks. I'm fired up. Spring is here. Okay? I'm sorry?
Proverbs 28:26.
Thank you. I wrote down Proverbs 28:20. It's Proverbs 28:26. Thank you. The bishop's got his concordance on his little device over there. I think I meant to type in 6, but I put 0, but it happens. Satan knows what buttons to push. For you see, I believe that our goal as Christians needs to be what it talks about in Psalm 51. Go ahead and turn there with me. In Psalm 51, this is David. And you know how the Bible describes him? A man after God's own heart. See, that's what we need to strive for. Amen?
Amen.
David wasn't perfect. You and I are not going to be ever perfect. Okay? Psalm 51. But this is a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David prays. David says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We know that, he wrote this psalm or sang it after Nathan went to confront him, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and had Uriah killed to cover up the adultery. Are you with me?
Amen.
And David was confronted by his sin, and he repented. Now he still suffered the consequences of what he did. But you see, you and I will blow it from time to time. The important thing is, we need to repent. We need to change.
Amen.
Don't make that mistake. Don't add insult to injury by not repenting.
Amen.
Where our attitude is, like David has here, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Why? Because Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Only the pure in heart will see God." Only the pure in heart will see God one day. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen?
Amen.
If your heart is pure, you will stand before God and you will see God's face. If your heart is not pure, you will not see God. You will not spend eternity with God. If anybody tells you any different, they are lying to you. Only the pure in heart will see God. And that's why we've got to guard our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
What's the condition of your heart tonight? Have you been guarding your heart? Okay? I want to talk about two main things now. God knows and sees your heart. God knows and sees my heart. Now, this is where we're going to look at a lot of verses. Okay? So let's start turning. 1 Samuel chapter 16. God knows and sees our hearts. 1 Samuel verse 16. You know the story? Samuel was sent to go anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And Samuel goes after God had rejected Saul as king. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, in verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, I'm sorry, verse 6. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they arrived, talking about Jesse's sons, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Okay? It looks like Eliab was an impressive looking character, just like Saul was. But the Lord said to Samuel, verse 7, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen.
Amen?
Man looks at the outward appearance. We look at the outward appearance. We see the physical first. But God always looks at a person's heart. And that's what we need to be looking at. Not only at our hearts, but the hearts of other people. Manifest a lot of times in the way they act and the way they behave. Are you with me? But God does not look at the outward. God does not care what kind of tie you got on. God doesn't care if you're wearing a Gucci suit. He doesn't care. What he's looking at is what's on the inside.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, for all the young people in here, the singles and the young men growing up, let me tell you something. I pray one day you grow up and you get married to a wonderful woman who's sold out to the Lord.
Yep.
But let me say this to you tonight. The thing that should attract you to the opposite sex is not their looks, but their love and their heart for God.
Amen.
Do not make that mistake.
Amen.
Of being attracted and marrying somebody because they're good looking.
Come on, Richard.
Looks are only skin deep.
Wow.
But the heart is what you should be after. Are you listening to me? And God can change your heart, even in that. As a young man, I'm very honest. When I was growing up, the first thing I saw was the looks. When I walked into the club or when I walked into a party, the first thing I was, who's the most beautiful girl in here? That's the person I want to dance with. That was what I saw. And it was amazing. Even after I got converted, I brought that into the church. Again, I will never forget, even before I got baptized, I think they had like a bring your neighbor day. And afterwards there was food. And I'll never forget it. We're sitting outside in the courtyard eating. And I'm looking out, checking out the sisters. I was so arrogant. I was so proud. And I had the audacity. There was a brother sitting next to me who had invited me. And I said, hey, who's that over there? What's her name? And he was very gracious. He told me. And I didn't say anything at that point. Now later on, praise God, when I got baptized, I remember going to the sister, asking her out. And it was very humbling when she said, you know what? I never noticed you. I've been coming to church for months. I didn't even know that. Ooh, I felt this small. But that was good for me. Because, let me tell you something. The thing that women look at in a man, it's the heart.
Amen.
It's not your looks. It's not what you got. It's not your job. It's not any of that. Because they're looking for somebody that's going to help them and help the kids that you're going to have together get to heaven one day.
Wow. Come on, Richard.
You know, people sometimes ask me, what's the secret of, you know, finding and falling in love with somebody? I say, it's Matthew 6:33.
Amen.
You seek God with everything you've got. You put God first. And I promise you, God will bring somebody along that is going to fall in love with you and you will fall in love with.
Amen.
But if you're out looking, oh, who am I going to marry? Let me do this. You're going to remain single a long time.
Yeah.
That one you can knock down. Okay. I've been around a long time. And I know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
The thing that should attract you to somebody is their heart.
Yeah.
Amen?
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 Amen.
But God changed my heart, even in that. Like I said, I used to be very worldly. And I repented. God had mercy on me. Now, I believe my wife is very attractive. But that's not what attracted me to Sarah. It was the person who she was on the inside. And I'll be the first one to tell you, man, I think God gave me a very great one. I would not be who I am if it wasn't for her. I am very thankful. Why would I want to go anywhere else? I mean, even in the news as we speak. You see all these beautiful, quote-unquote, Hollywood people?
Yep.
Their lives are a mess.
Right.
Yeah. How do you go cheat on someone like a Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
That's a very attractive lady. Mm-hmm. You see, beauty has got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
I mean, it's amazing. Maybe you've been listening to the news. I mean, to me, it was very sad when they went back over the last several years. All the ladies that have won the Oscar for Best Actor or Best Actress, they've lost their husbands.
Wow.
And they went down the list. Halle Berry. Hilary Swank. What's her name is going through a divorce right now. Kate Winslet. Very recently. Sandra Bullock. Reese Witherspoon. I mean, they just went down the list. And they're not talking about how maybe you winning the Oscar for Best Actor is now a curse. Why? Because a lot of these people marry for looks. I mean, look at someone like Tiger Woods. You've seen pictures of his wife. She's very good looking. I mean, what else is he looking for? You see, but again, man has not learned the lesson that it's not about outward appearance. And some of us, we still struggle with that, even right now. When we lust after women, when we take that second glance, what are you looking at? You know, I always tell people, would you look at your grandmother like that? What are you looking at? How would you like to be walking down the road with your grandma and then some guy is coming on the other side and he's whistling and he's going, woo, and he's turning around? You will go over there and probably kick the guys behind. I say, how dare you? But you see, some of us, we do that all day long and it doesn't bother us. It shouldn't be that way. It's the condition of your heart. You need to look at what God looks at. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9, in verse 4. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 4. You know the story? These guys bring a paralytic to Jesus. But in verse 4, here's what the Bible says. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take up your mat, and go home. The Bible says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, why are you thinking those evil things in your hearts? Yeah, you and I may feel God is so far away, but he knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He sees everything. Every time. Every day, every second. Now, I don't know about you. To me, that's very challenging. To know that God, there's nowhere to hide. The psalmist talks about, you know, you can't go to the depths of the earth and hide from the Lord. He'll find you. You can't go into the depths of the sea and hide. He sees you. His hand will find you. He sees everything. Who are we fooling? Who are we kidding? Amen? That's why we got to guard it. You know, I think it must have been extremely challenging to be a disciple back then or to be a follower of Jesus when Jesus walked this earth. Can you imagine you're walking with the Lord, he's up front and you guys are, you know, middle out in the back and walking along and you're thinking something funny?
Wow.
And he just turns, he doesn't even have to say anything, he just looks at you. Even before they opened their mouths. God knew what was in there. Now, he's not here physically to see what's going on and what we're thinking, but he sees it even from that far away. Why? Because he's everywhere. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 8. We're talking about how God knows and sees our hearts. 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 39, Let's back up a little bit. In verse 37, it says, when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight, or mildew, locusts, or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the affliction of his own heart, and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live on the land you gave our fathers. This is part of Solomon's prayer when he was dedicating the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? You remember David wanted to build it. God says, no, there's blood on your hands. Your son is going to build it. And so he builds the temple, and they're having a dedication. They're dedicating the temple. And so this part of his prayer. Okay? Again, man, that's it right there, where you pray before God, it's okay to spread out your hands. Okay? You're not being religious. You're saying, God, I need help. Okay? Don't be ashamed. Don't be concerned about what other people think. Okay? I hope in the privacy of your own home, or even sometimes at church, it's okay when we're praying to raise your hand up. Lift up holy hands in prayer. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
It's biblical. But anyway, he says, you know what? The point here is, for God alone knows the hearts of all men. I mean, think about it. Every heart, God knows what's in there. God is the ultimate supercomputer, so to speak. I mean, all the memory is there. I mean, computers are really pretty thin. They're an amazing device. You know, I know a lot of the young people, you can't relate to what I'm talking about. What has happened in the last 30, 40 years is an amazing thing. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day where when I was studying accounting in school, you had to write everything out. You want to do a trial balance, you did it all with your pen and pencil. Income statement, everything. The Lord help you if you make a mistake. And that thing doesn't balance. Sometimes it takes hours to find it. These days, you just go onto a computer, you put in numbers, boop, 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 boom, there it is. It's an amazing thing. You don't have to do anything. It has become so easy. You want to do research? You don't have to go to a library. I dare say some of you don't even know what a library looks like. Because all you do these days, you're sitting on a computer, you Google the stuff, and boom, there's the stuff. Right in front of you. You have no excuse for not getting that term paper in on time. None whatsoever. When I was in college, you had to pay somebody to go type your papers for you. Where are you going to find a typewriter? You didn't have one. You write the stuff out, longhand, and then you go pay. You give it somebody to type for you. Or you go find a typewriter somewhere and then type it up. You guys have no idea of the advantages you have these days, and you're not taking advantage of it. But, I mean, think about it, that God sees everything. He's a supercomputer. He knows everything. He's Google 1,000 times over. God owns Google. God is Google. Because he knows what's in here. Every human being. That's an amazing thing. Look in Psalm 94. I can just hear that now. God is Google. Pastor said God is Google. But I'm trying to make a point. You know what I'm saying? Okay, don't bring him down to that level. God is bigger than Google. But you get the point I'm making. Psalm 94, in verse 11, it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. The Lord knows the thoughts of every single person in here, of every single person that's alive and living and walking. And he says, our thoughts are futile. Look in Psalm 139. I told you we're going to look at a lot of passages. In Psalm 139, in verse 1, David writes, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind, and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The point again is, God knows you and sees you. There's nowhere I can hide. There's nowhere you can hide. You think, oh yeah, I'm slick, I'm doing this, nobody knows, or I'm doing this, nobody's aware. You are kidding yourself. You are a big fool. Because the Lord is about to expose you. Big time. Because God sees everything. Look in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 21. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. He didn't say some, all of them. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. There's nowhere to hide, people. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 in verse 2. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. And then, let's look at Jeremiah 17. Oh boy, I got to pick it up here. Look at the time. Jeremiah 17 in verse 10. Jeremiah 17 to verse 10. The Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God says that's what he does. That he will search the heart and examine the mind, and to reward each man according to what he has done. Again, this is very comforting and it's very scary at the same time.
Yeah.
One day Jesus is going to come back. The Bible teaches. And when Jesus comes back, it is not the Atlanta Church of Christ that's going to go up in the sky.
Right.
Oh no. I think people are going to be very, very surprised on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, he's rising. How come I'm not going up? How come I'm not going up? Because of the condition of your heart. You are playing with fire. You are playing with your soul. You're gonna go up or not go up based on the condition of your heart. The fact that I'm a member of the Atlanta Church of Christ doesn't mean you're going to heaven. The fact that I'm a member of the Atlanta Church of Christ does not mean I'm going to heaven. You are not around me 24 hours of the day. You don't know what I do. You don't know what I'm thinking. Again, I don't know. I'm not around you 24 hours of the day. I have no idea what you're up to. But God does.
Amen.
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 And that's where we need to be looking. You know, in this country, if you've committed a crime, the authorities, the prosecution will go to a judge and they would ask to search your house or your car, and you'd have to go get what is called a search warrant. No police officer can just show up at your door and say, you know what, I want to come in and search your house. You have a constitutional right. Nobody can just walk into your house. Again, I think that's one of the things America takes for granted. Where I'm from, they just show up and they pick you up. No questions asked. Anyway, don't get me excited. That's a different sermon. But over here, you got to go get a search warrant. And you see these guys, they come in. You even see it depicted sometimes when they do CSI. And they come in and they're taking your house apart, you know, looking through everything. They're looking for evidence. It's like, I got something. And it's always amazing to me, in a 1 hour period, they always seem to solve every problem. It is not like that in real life. It is so far from that. You don't get DNA testing, you don't get the result in a few minutes. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it takes weeks. Okay? But I want you to imagine somebody shows up with a search warrant to search a house. And it's okay, fine, come on in. And they don't even bother going anyplace else. They just go exactly where the incriminating evidence lies.
Wow.
Every single time. They just walk in and they go into the bedroom and they know exactly what drawer to pull out and to look inside. Think about that. That's what God does all the time. He's the ultimate CSI. He knows exactly where the evidence is. He knows where to look. And he never misses. You know, even today I was hearing on the news, Bin Laden just issued another, another threat. And I have to be honest with you, there are times when I go, you know, Lord, why don't you just give me the coordinates in my dream where this man is hiding? Just tell me he's over here, latitude this, longitude this, and I go call the FBI and say, guys, here's where you're going to find him. Here's where you're going to find Bin Laden. Here's where you're going to find Al-Zawahiri. If that happens, folks, that's $100 million right there. Tax-free. Thank you. Do you know how much help we can provide for people with that kind of money? Do you know how many disciples we're going to make around this world with that kind of money? And all God has to do is just tell me the coordinates. God knows where Bin Laden is hiding. He does. And I pray in his own time he will reveal it to us. But until then, we're going to keep looking. As a matter of fact, you were saying today on the news, people don't even know where he is. But can you imagine where God knows where you're hiding? He knows all the thoughts. He knows all the actions. You see, there will be no unsolved cases on the day of judgment. None. Because the evidence will be there. It will be so overwhelming. God knows where the evidence is hidden. Amen? And the second thing I wanted to say very quickly is that the Bible changes our hearts. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, a passage we're all very familiar with. It is the Bible that changes our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12. It says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Bible exposes everything. This book will get to parts of you that nothing else can. It will divide your joints and your marrow. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, talk about performing really intricate surgery. That's what the Bible does. But see, it's only the Bible that can change our hearts. That's why we got to be in it on a daily basis. We got to be applying what the Bible is teaching in our lives. Some of us, yeah, we want to change things, but then we don't see any changes because you are not allowing God to do surgery. This is the scalpel, so to speak. This is the operating room, right here, this book. If the doctor wants to perform surgery on you, they're not going to do it in this hall. You're going to go into the emergency room, you're going to go into the surgery room where they got all the equipment. All the equipment is in the book.
Yep.
But a lot of times, we don't show up for surgery. It's like, I'm sorry, what day, what time? I'll be right back. And we're running. We're fooling ourselves. You and I, we got heart problems. And we got to get back to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Look in Psalm 20. In Psalm chapter 20. I love this passage. In Psalm 20, in verse 7. Again, it's Psalm 19, I'm sorry. I typed the wrong thing again. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right,
giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Oh, listen to this, verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them. Notice it doesn't say in believing in them. In keeping them. There is great reward. Not just reward. Great reward, the Bible says. In keeping the Bible, in putting this book into practice on a daily basis, the Bible says there is great reward. I don't know about you. When I hear the news, which is all bad news, by the way, my heart goes out to all these people. I really do. I don't know how people live inside this world without the Bible as their standard. When my wife goes out or I go out, she's not wondering, where's Richard gone? I wonder, is he being faithful to me? What is he up to? He says he's going to go to get with so and so brother. Is that really the case? The peace of mind that you and I have as Christian men.
Come on, Richard.
You think you can buy that? Yes, I don't have a Rolls Royce sitting in my parking lot. Who cares? You see all these people with money, they're miserable. So money is not the answer. They got nice houses, nice clothes. Putting on, alligator shoes. Personally, I think those things look ugly, but that's again different sermon. And you know what man looks at is very different from what God looks at.
Yeah.
We see a lot of times, even as Christian men, we get sucked into this. And we shouldn't. An incredible eternity awaits us. Like I've said before, and I'll say it again tonight, heaven is going to blow your mind. I personally think one of the words we're going to be saying a lot in heaven is wow. All day long, wow. Check that out. That's for me to enjoy, yeah. And they see something and they go, wow. This is amazing. I was talking to a brother the other day. It was at night. And we were just looking up at the stars. And he goes, I believe that this is going to be our playground one day. Can you imagine just zooming through the universe? And it's going to be incredible. Why? Because we're children of God. But we've got to allow the Bible to change us. Amen?
Amen.
Are you trying to change something in your character? It's got to be according to this. Let me encourage you to go study that thing out. Is it anger? You need to look up every verse in the Bible that talks about anger and rage. And start meditating on them. And start putting them in your heart. That's how you're going to change. So that when Satan shows up, and he will show up, you can say, hey, the word says this. And you start quoting Bible to yourself. That's how Jesus warded off Satan's temptations.
Right.
He says, it is written. Yeah. It is written. It is written. But a lot of us, we don't even know the Bible. We don't even have those verses in our hearts. So when Satan shows up, we just fall. No wonder. But like I always say, this ain't rocket science. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do, is study out this stuff and repent. Amen. We got to keep the word in our heart. You see, every heart needs to be exposed and purified. Every heart needs to be convicted. Every heart needs encouragement and comforting. Every heart needs to be strengthened. Every heart will be tested. Every heart needs to be constantly renewed. Every heart needs to be constantly prepared. Because one day Jesus is coming back. And that's why he says, above everything else, guard your heart.
Amen.
For it is the wellspring of life. If I make it to heaven one day, it will simply be as a result of the condition of my heart. If you make it to heaven one day, that's what's going to get you in. It's the condition of your heart. Brothers, we need to go after this.
I hope this is not one of those sermons where we just hear whatever, we just, that was nice. Now you go take your time and study this stuff out. There are a lot of scriptures I didn't even mention. Because according to the condition of your heart, that's the way God is going to deal with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Steve, could you stand up and pray for us? And then we'll be dismissed. Thank you very much. Again, if you need invitations, they're right up front. Come see me and I'll give them to you.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks to us. Father, how it convicts us and teaches us and encourages us, Father. And we do pray, as David did, that you would create in all of us pure hearts, God.
Amen.
That we can and love you and be close to you and be with you one day. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.